Okay. Anyway, so last week we talked about how the Lord wants to develop people that have staying power. For those of us who are here, you know, it was like this really encouraging message about how troubles are coming and we need to be ready to be grounded in faith and to know that no matter what happens, we don't take our joy in circumstances, we take our joy in being, you know, a child of God, right? Not that we can't find joy whenever there's a prayer that's answered. For example, Jesus said, ask that your joy may be full. Yes, we take joy when we have answers to prayer. But that doesn't mean that our prayers aren't answered immediately or in a certain way that we don't have joy, right? Just Jesus wants to be abundant in joy and to be full of joy, right? And so we talked about that last week, and I could tell everyone was so excited. I wanted to pick up where we left off and just keep the discussion going today. You know, that's why this whole section is empty. But before we do that, and in fact, in the heart and the spirit of that entire discussion, we began to feel this real sense that there has been an attack on marriages throughout this area. Okay, so I'm not just talking about like just us, but I mean, I've even talked to other churches, people who are attending other churches, and they're confirming that, yeah, we're seeing these numbers of struggling marriages going up. And so Wednesday night, the prayer team, we began to pray for marriages, and I just felt very strongly that we're supposed to continue that right now as a part of this body. And yes, we have a sermon, but church is not about just doing the sermon. Church is about my house shall be called a house of prayer. So what I'd like for us to do is you know, grab your partner's hand, even if you don't like them right now. This is very important that we band together and we pray for marriages. If you're not married, then pray for your future spouse. Pray for yourself that God will clean you out of yourself so that he'll prepare you for that person. But, you know, I'd like to actually pass the mic a couple times to those who are willing to just pray here, but we're drawing a line and we're saying, we're not going to go quietly under attack and just let our marriages suffer. We will not, right? We will fight back, and the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. And so we're just going to band together. And if your marriage is doing awesome, thank God. Now stand for someone else, right?
Yeah.
Amen. So I'm going to start, and I'm going to just look around the room, and if you're willing to join me in that prayer, I'll just pass the mic until we know we've got it covered. But pray in the Spirit. Be led by the Spirit, okay? Lord God, I just thank you that you love marriage, that you designed marriage for us. I saw this week in Scripture where you picked out Rebecca specifically for Isaac. It wasn't just this love as a choice thing. It was you had her specifically picked for him. And Lord, it reminded me of how you intimately weave people's lives together because you love us. And you put us with partners, God, that are exactly who you want for our life, God. And so, Father, as we remember that, as we remember how important marriage is and how much time and effort you put into bringing marriages together, Lord, we just come to you right now and we ask for your mercy and your grace and your power and your Spirit to be at work within our marriages, God. Lord, I ask for healthy, vibrant, strong families, God. Even families that are blended, God, I ask for a newfound heart of compassion for brothers and sisters and fathers and mothers, and that the stress of even broken marriages and those shared responsibilities to mitigate, Father, even starting now in the name of Jesus. I ask, Father, that husbands will love their wives as Christ loved the church and will give themselves for their wives, even as you did on the cross, God. And I ask that wives will love and honor and respect their husbands, God, as it says in your word. And that, Lord, the husbands will draw their affection from their wives, and the husbands will give their affection, their intimacy to the wives, God, and that they will fulfill each other's needs, and they will not draw back and hurt. They will not feel rejection and draw away and pull away. God, we just break that spirit of self-pity in the name of Jesus. that broken heart that says, I need to pull away because I'm hurting and that person doesn't understand. And I break that thing that says, I can find my peace in someone else. I can find fulfillment in someone else. We break that in Jesus' name. There is no someone else. There is no plan B. We burn the ships in the name of Jesus. We will not have another plan. Lord, I ask that children will be blessed as they see how wonderfully Dad is treating Mom and how wonderfully Mom is treating Dad. And Lord, when the tiffs come and the disagreements come, they will work through those things, Father, with honor for each other. Thank you, God.
Trusting you, Lord, for reconciliation, despite what the enemy has done. Your word says, Lord God, that you return the hundredfold what the locusts have taken away or eaten, whatever they do. They eat it, I think they ate it. But so, Lord, we just praise you and thank you for that. And in the name of Jesus, I repent, Lord God, of my heart when it's been turned away. Lord God, I repent of that apathetic attitude, Lord God, and I'm sorry for that, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I praise you and thank you for restoration. Lord, you are the God of healing. You're the God of restoration, Lord Jesus. You said it is finished. So even when the enemy tries to destroy marriages, Lord God, we can stand firm knowing that you're going to restore them, whether they're divorced or not or separated. Lord, bring it back, Lord God. We stand in faith knowing that you will do that, and I believe it. We praise you, Jesus, for it. Thank you for your finished work in Jesus' name.
Looking around the rooms.
Heavenly Father, we lift up our couples here today in this church, Father, in this family. Lord, we ask for your cloak, your covering over our couples. They are royalty to you. May nothing come in and divide and separate. Father, I just ask that each one of them, the husbands and the wives, seek you first. Put you first in their lives. And after you, Lord, they put their spouse first. It's about you and it's about them. It's not about ourselves. To die to self is what you tell us. Die to self. And in a marriage, it's about giving yourself. Lord, as you give to us. May they seek you, Lord, in everything they do. Father, if there are things from the past, which we all have, traumas, there's generational things that are trying to hold and attach to us as we move on, Father, I just pray that generational curses over individuals be broken, Father. Father, just that your blood that was shed just washes out of that. Washes it all clean. Father, allow these couples and as individuals to see what you see. That they are your sons and daughters. They are your prince and princesses. They are your saints and they are royalty. Father, you sent your son so that we didn't have to carry the burdens and the curses that come with us through our DNAs, There are generation of families that are dysfunctional, Father. We ask and pray right now in Jesus' name that that be broken, that it be broken today. If there's someone that is carrying grief, depression, anxiety, shame, so much shame that people carry from their past. Father, your son was sent, his blood was shed for that. And every day we wake up is a new day. You give us new mercies, new grace, every day. Father, I pray that over our couples and the individuals here. In your name, Jesus, let that be broken. Father, that they see you, they seek you. Allow you to come in and rewrite the hurts. Because we know the devil wants to come in. He wants to come in like a thief at night. And he wants to steal from our marriages. He wants to steal, even as individuals. He wants to captivate us within our sin, within our shame, within our brokenness. Father, your son came and he paid the price, a very high price, so that we could be free from that. So, Father, I pray that over the individuals today, over our couples and over the individuals, married or not, that they seek the freedom that you give. It's there. Father, guide and direct them to where they can get the help they need to be free of this. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we break every shame, every brokenness, every discontent, anything that's being held over each other, Lord, in your name, we break it right now. I ask for your cloak of angels to cover around our couples. And not let the evil from the outside, whether it be from music, movies, people who are not speaking light into these couples, that they be struck down right now. Lord, I ask that you shut the mouths of the evil ones and bring forth the saints, bring forth the godly ones that are there to stand beside them and help these couples to get through what they're going through, Father. We ask for your hedge of protection around them and their marriages. We ask that they be lifted up to you, Lord, that you guide and direct all of their ways, their thoughts, their actions. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
Father God, your word says that a threefold cord is not easily broken. When we have a covenant with you, when we're married, we take a vow. And you're in this with us. You're right in it with us. We're not alone. It's not just husband and wife, Lord. It's husband and wife and you within us. You within us to work and to move. And in that covenant, Lord, we say that we want to be together, Lord, for better, for worse. In sickness and in health, till death do us part, Lord. So I just pray, Father, the enemy's trying to come in and destroy the family unit. That's what's happening in our whole country. He wants to come in and destroy the family, not just marriage, but the whole children, all of it. And Father, you're greater than that. So I ask you, Lord, to come in and breathe life into every marriage. Breathe life and breathe your love. Breathe newness of life into these marriages, Lord, and bring back to their hearts and their spirits, Lord, and their emotions and their minds, the love that they had. That love, Lord, that was there. It's just an amazing thing to be able to walk through this pain and this hurt and to come out the other side and then live our life out together with you, because you're greater. And the enemy's coming in and he's trying to destroy. Because he knows that these couples, these precious people, have something that they need to do for you, Lord. That on the other side of this, it may walk through the pain and the hurt. And on the other side, they can minister for you to people that are more broken, to people that are just more broken. Father God, do a mighty work. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we bind any spirit of divorce.
Yes.
We bind the spirit of separation.
Yes.
And we rebuke you in Jesus' name. You have no right and you have no place, and you will not come in to anyone, not in this church. And he will bind you in Jesus' name, and we rebuke you now. We command you to go where Jesus Christ of Nazareth would send you now. And release the spirit of God's life, the spirit of Christ, the spirit of the gifts of healing, God's resurrected power to every marriage in this church. And I plead the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth all over every marriage, all over their covenant and their hearts and their families. Do a mighty work. You are a mighty God. You are a powerful God. So touch the hearts of every person in this church and bring them together in a place and a way like they've never known. Father, pour your healing power, your anointing for healing over every marriage, and bring restoration and bring life, new life. Do a powerful work. And Lord, as you do, may the testimony of what you are doing and what you're going to do be powerful to bless you, to bring you glory. And Father God, use it for the good of another. Use it so other people can come into healing, so other marriages can be healed. Do a mighty work. Because Lord, you're greater, and greater is he that lives in them than he that lives in the world. Greater is your spirit and your power. So pour your healing power through every one of these marriages at the root of it, and do a mighty work. Let them know how much you love them, and restore that love so powerful that I pray it will be stronger, Lord, stronger than it was in the beginning. It will be a powerful work, because you are great and you are mighty, and there is none that is like unto thee, O God, and nothing and nobody can come against what you have ordained. All the forces and powers of darkness cannot stop what you have ordained. That's what Isaiah says. They cannot stop it. And you are powerful and mighty. And it's enough. It's enough. Do a mighty work. We love you, Jesus. Blessed be your holy name. We worship you. We praise you, and we bless your holy, powerful name. Do a mighty work. Come, Holy Spirit, and fall, and do a powerful work in this day, in this time, in this hour, in this moment. Holy Spirit, do a mighty work. We love you, Jesus, and we bless your holy name. Thank you, Lord, for your covenant. Thank you, Lord, that you will fight for us. Thank you, Lord, that you are so much greater. We bless you, and we thank you for a healing and a powerful work that you're doing and that you're going to do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen, sister.
Amen.
And God, we ask that you lower the divorce rate in this entire area. That the nation would look and be shocked and say, wow, what is up? Why are marriages doing better than ever in New England? Thank you, God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now we've gone and spent the whole service praying. There's no time. Got a little something. I got a nugget, right? I won't keep it, but are you familiar with Psalms 1?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Cool. That's the one usually people give up on when they say, I'm going to start reading Psalms, and that's, you know. They read that one.
They know.
In Psalms 1, starting with verse number 1, and I know I'm out of order for you guys, but Psalms 1, if you will. Yeah, this is James. That's our other brother. There he is. Thanks, man. So we went to Psalms 1. I'm completely off track and in the middle. I know it's after the photo slide. I know that much. But In Psalms 1, it says, oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers. But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They're like trees planted along the river bank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. And I don't want to make this whole thing about the context of marriage, but maybe keeping that context in front of you is actually very useful right now in context of what we've just prayed. But the Lord wants to make us unshakable. So last week I said he wants to have people with staying power, and I'm adding another adjective, unshakable. Okay? So that when all things that are shaken, only the unshakable remains. And he will tear apart anything, you know, in absolute love that stands in the way of perfect, abundant love, right? And so I just want to sort of like pick this thing apart, and then you know, I believe we'll probably be done. But the first piece is the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked. You know, remember we talked about finding our awe in who God is, right? That's the concept of this. He's found his joy, like, oh, the joy, right? That's, people don't normally go around talking like that. You know what I mean? Like, oh, the joy I have from this, right? That's David. He's found it, and he's passing it along. He found his awe. And I told you weeks ago, and I'm still going to keep saying it, find your awe. If you don't have your awe in God right now, if you're just checked out doing the do and not in awe, find your awe. Stop what you're doing. Go find it. It'll hurt you to keep doing without awe. That's a religious obligation.
Yeah.
And that will destroy you.
We fall into it sometimes, so it's so bad.
Mm-hmm.
We fall into it. Lord, take us out.
You're right. So, David, then, you know, in the last verse, he says, you know, we're like trees, we're planted by the river, bearing fruit each season, leaves that never wither, prosper in all we do, right? And that's what we want to be as Christians. That's what we want to be as marital partners. That's what we want to be as fathers and mothers and as friends in a community. I mean, we want to be the unshakable tree that's planted by a riverbank. And you understand the concept, right? So the roots go through the ground. But then when there's water nearby, the roots actually go toward the river. They'll even bend in like, oh, water. And, right? And they'll draw more nutrients and more water, and they'll be able to produce fruit year-round in a, you know, Mediterranean climate, of course. Not here. But you get the concept, right? I mean, they're just constantly producing because they're more nourished than the average tree that's just in the ground, not near water source. Okay, and so David, what he's going to talk about here is, I want to plant you so solidly and so unshakably by a river that you're producing all the time, that you're healthy all the time, every season, right? And that's what we want. Who doesn't want that? And throughout Scripture, we see the river, through Isaiah, through Revelation, we see that the river is the presence of God. It comes out of his throne in Revelations and in Isaiah. And it runs under the sea of glass, and then in Ezekiel, it passes under the door room to the throne of God, and then it goes across the world. And it talks about how there are trees that are planted on each side in Revelation of that river, drawing their nutrients, that's us, and producing fruit, and our leaves are the healing of nations, right? Now, that's very end time thinking, and some of us are like, man, I'm just trying to get to Monday, right? Like, trying to tell me I'm the healing of nations is a little deep. Yeah, it's okay. First, we're going to set our roots by the river and realize how important it is that the presence of God is the thing by which we draw all our nutrient and all that sustains us and all that drives us to produce, right? Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches, apart from me, you can do nothing. But in me, right? We can do all things, so we have to draw from him. And we won't find that if we're apart from the awe of God, because at that point we're just doing it in ourselves anyways, out of obligation, necessity. He doesn't love it, right? Okay, so in the context of being unshakable and having our roots planted by the river and being effective in all seasons, that would be the seasons where you're totally in love with your spouse, or the seasons where you completely want to just get rid of them. We want to be fruitful in all seasons, right? I mean, I'm not trying to be sarcastic. It's serious, right? We want to be fruitful. We want to please God. We want to do what He's called us to do and love our families and our spouses like He's called us to. All right, so the first thing, following not the advice of the wicked. And that word literally translates morally wrong advice. And so the first question you ask yourself, ask the Holy Spirit if it's true, are we open and listening to ungodly counsel? And that can even come from other Christians who are just confused. They're listening to the wrong source. Okay? And using what seems to be wise, and yet it's misleading. No? And so the first piece of being unshakable and unaffected in any season, prospering in all you do, is not taking the morally wrong advice. And you might have a Christian that's like, you know what, it's time for you to get out because you deserve better. That's the voice of the devil. Anything that tells you you deserve, we don't deserve squat. We are the recipients of grace. Right? We don't get what we deserve. And thank God for that. Are we listening to ungodly counsel? Have we opened up our mind, our heart to even the voice that says, hey, it's there's pleasure over here. It's over here. It's not what you have. It's over here. Right? Are we listening to that? It's a voice. And it's seductive. And it's of the enemy. And it's not necessarily just the sexual thing I'm talking about. I mean, you can find that in money. You can find that in commitments to activities. You can find that seduction in whatever, you know, whatever you happen to struggle with. You know what I mean? Yeah. Right. The second thing, standing around with sinners. Well, you know, we don't do that. We don't stand around anywhere. Right? Huh? Well, even now I'm like shifting around. that literally translates to abide with those who will not repent. Like when you think about that. So you could be standing around with sinners who are
sinners.
Christians because they have the label, but they refuse to repent. Repent means stop, turn, and just do the other thing. Right? And that means Christians who will justify the sin in their life, pull you into it, make you feel like it's justified for you as well. Right? Make you brave in lines that you were not used to crossing. And now it's like you take steps because it's there. And they seem to be doing fine. Right? I hope this is relevant to the moment, but I'm just saying there are, you know, David's like, I want to see you unshakable. I want to see you like that tree, right? And the first one is not to listen to the ungodly, worldly advice. It sounds so wise, and yet it's not seated in the heart of God. And then number two, not standing around with those who refuse to repent. If their hearts are hard, you don't want it. It doesn't mean you can't love them. Yes, you can. But man, if their hearts are unrelenting, they're hard and not repenting in certain areas and justifying, I love you. I'm just not standing around with you. We're not doing life together. I will still connect, but, right? Okay, we can't let it influence us. And then, I'm reminded when I hear this, like, standing around with sinners, abiding with those who do not repent, that Jesus on the other side in the, I'm the vine, you are the branches statement, he invites us to abide in me, is what he said, right? Like, the God of heaven and earth the world looks at a Christian and the world says, you know, as a believer, you're not allowed to do all of these things. You call them sin and you miss out, right? They don't understand why we walk in obedience. Right? And yet, the one who has total right to enforce obedience upon us said, why do you come abide in me? Like, it's an invitation to love. And the world is trying to tell us that our life is a life of, like, this horrible obedience where we're missing out on things that please us. And it's like, the Lord is like, I'm not enforcing my obedience. I'm enforcing that you come and abide in my love, and then let my words remain in you, and my love remain in you, and then you will ask and your joy will be full, right? I mean, he's just like, it's an invitation into the love thing. And I just see the counterfeit is the standing around with those who refuse to repent, the ones who refuse to abide, and letting it suck the life out of you. Right? You might be a tree, but there's nothing growing. It's ironic, don't you think? So, the third one, join in with mockers. That literally translates to take the position of one who mocks. And so the question to ask yourself and then ask if the Holy Spirit would confirm, do we close our hearts to what we do not understand, presuming we know better? And then in a lack of humility, do we just look down on that thing we don't understand? That's literally mocking. Yeah, I'll try. Do we close our hearts to the things we do not understand, and presuming we know better, and in doing so, do we mock? Do we look down on that thing? Right? And when we do that, you could say, yeah, but that thing that I'm looking down on, it deserves to be mocked. It's ridiculous. It's stupid. It's like, do you know those people? They're hurting people. They're wacky. Yeah, but when we take that place, we become something that we were not called to be, and that's judgers who see ourselves as better. And the Lord is like, that cuts off the life source. That's like taking the shovel, the roots are growing toward the river, and just cutting them off. How's your river now, right? Well, I can't reach it. I cut myself off right at the roots, right? And, you know, we often do that I'm just going to say it, but we often do this in our marriages, in our relationships. Like, of course we're the one who's right. That's why they married us, right? Right? And then maybe when we get with friends, we might even mock them to our friends. And then, you know, right. Just me?
So I always took that as they were mocking God.
I know, and I'm taking it down a little. I'm taking it to just the actual translation, which is becoming
which
one
of
the mockers. There's really, honestly, in Psalms 1, there's no specificity in what are they mocking. I lost my place, but it's okay. Yeah, but you know, that's just the question. If we're looking, you know, this is one of those things like you could change right now. There's so much of us we can't change immediately. But the one thing you can change right now to really improve any relationship you're in is to listen to see if there's any part of you that mocks that other person and just stop. Because at that moment, the decision to stop reverts the mocking to an honor. And anytime there's honor, there's blessing.
Hallelujah.
That's like overnight, you can change pieces. I'm all guilty, so don't think I'm standing here being Mr. Perfect. No way. And how did I know about, you know, cutting off the soil and the roots that I just make that up? No, Proverbs 3:34 says that the Lord mocks the mockers and is gracious to the humble. And so if you are looking for grace, then don't stand with the mockers. Right? So, again, looking for grace in any relationship is taking the place of humility and being a blessing and speaking honor. Don't allow yourself, even if the partner's not there, that friend, that relationship is not there to hear those words, it's not about them, whether they heard it or not. If you said it, you heard yourself say it, and your heart agreed with the statement, and that's where the damage takes place. Yay! So encouraging. Oh, good. I love conviction. That means we're doing my job. So a tree that's planted by the river is so preoccupied and engaged in God's presence that he or she draws its strength, peace, joy, and help from him in all seasons. They do not draw from what he doesn't do, but from who he is. Okay. Right? So if you draw your what you think is strength from what he is, what he does or doesn't want us to do, that's, again, you're drawing strength from the religion that goes with the activities of following him. And if that's what fulfills your, like, sense of being, your inner strength comes from doing the right thing or staying away from the wrong thing, there's no life there. Okay? That's just obedience. We're called to obedience. That's not where we draw our joy and our sense of being. Else that's where we feel inflated with pride because I do that right. No one else does, right? Yeah, that kind of stinks. So we draw our strength from who he is. So if instead of like I draw my self being from by loving people, no, I draw my joy and my strength, my countenance is fulfilled by the fact that he is a lover of my soul and he's a lover of people. God is love. And I draw my strength from the fact that he's love, and I keep my eyes on him, and I keep walking toward the God who's love.
Yeah.
And he makes me loving. Yeah. Right? You know what I'm saying? It's who he is. It's not what we are, what we're doing or not doing any of this. Yeah. So we just have to focus our eyes so well on Jesus that there's just no room in our focus for anything else. The attention to these other things, right? That's all I got. I don't want to keep you long because children's church workers will rebel. And good ones are hard to come by. We don't want that. all right. Well, Father, I just love you. I feel like today's been sort of a different kind of a day, but that it's still been a meal. It's just came out in pieces, like four courses. And so, Lord, we pray that you'll take all of the things we've discussed today and all the things we've encountered, and, Lord, cause us to ponder them and to meditate on them throughout this week. And I ask that today will be not only a part of a conversation we've already begun with you, but you will continue to have that conversation. Lord, have a relationship with us through this week, God. Develop us. Set us free. Improve us in our relationships, God. Lord, I pray that you'll keep us from standing around with those who refuse to repent, or shut our ears to worldly, ungodly wisdom that doesn't agree with your heart and your nature. And God, just keep us from taking the posture of a mocker, God. Keep us in humility, we pray. Thank you so much for all you're doing in us, Lord. And I just see you moving people strategically into other people's lives so that we are feeding and helping each other during difficult times, Lord. I ask that you allow us to see where you're moving us and that we would respond yes and be the person you call us to be. And Lord, when you draw someone into our life so that they can sow into us, then I pray that we won't turn that down. Thinking we need to stay in place where we are at, Father. We love you. We receive all that you have, and we give you everything. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's all we got. So, you guys, huh? All right, good. You guys are dismissed. Don't forget to pick up your children. We love you, and we will see you at the camping trip if you're coming. Okay.